So what's bad about abortion? I mean, after all, it's my body. It's my choice. I have a right to do whatever I want with my body. Isn't that what we say? What is so bad about abortion? I think what's so bad about abortion is that we don't realize that when we are doing an abortion, we are taking the life of a human being. And when we take a life of a human being, God says it pollutes the land. We'll talk about it today. Beloved, we're going to continue looking at Ezekiel chapter 22. God's word of judgment to Israel, to the bloody city of Jerusalem, because of the blood that has been shed by those people in that city. Because of the blood that has been shed, because of the defilement that has happened to them, because of their idolatry. Because of the corruption of the leaders of that country, then God is saying, I am going to have to judge you. Judge the bloody city. That's what I have for my title of Ezekiel chapter 22. And I think that it would be so good for you to write that down in the front of your Bible if you don't have an inductive study Bible. Or if you do have an inductive study Bible, go to the end of Ezekiel, find the Ezekiel at a glance chart, and under chapter 22, write this down. You might want to write it in pencil in case you want to change it later. Judge the bloody city. Now remember, the things that were written beforehand were written for our learning. They were written for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages has come. We're looking at America at the crossroads. And I believe with all my being from studying the Word of God that America is under the judgment of God. We're calling this nation to corporate prayer. We're calling for corporate prayer every Thursday at 12 noon so that collectively we can gather in places where we have designated others to come expressly to pray for America, to pray because America is at the crossroads, because the election and what happens and the decisions that are made by the next president of the United States of America will either take us farther away from God or draw us closer to God. You say, but we're a free nation and we have Muslims and we have Hindus and we have Buddhists and we have all sorts of people, Catholic and Protestants and a wide variety of people in this country. Yes, we do. And we have allowed the freedom of religion, but it is not freedom from Christianity. This nation has to go back to its roots. This nation has to remember that it was founded on a reverence for God, a fear of God, a respect of God, an acknowledgement of God. And for us to throw that away is simply to invite the judgment of God. Now, when you look at the history of the United States of America and you go back to the 1960s, you can see that this was a pivotal time in America's history. From that point on, as I told you earlier, we began to go downhill. In Ezekiel, he says, "Behold, the rulers," verse 6, "each according to his power have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. They have treated father and mother lightly within you. The alien they have oppressed in their midst. The fatherless and the widow they have wronged in you. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. Slanderous men have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. And in you they have eaten at the mountain shrines. In your midst they have committed acts of lewdness." Now look at the immorality, at the sensuality. "In you they have uncovered their father's nakedness. In other words, they're having sex with their mother. In you, they have humbled her who was unclean in her menstrual period. One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, adultery, and another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and that's incest. And another in you has humbled his sister, his father's daughter, again, incest. In you, they have taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken interest and profits, and you have injured your neighbors for gain by oppression, and you have forgotten me. Now, I had you write down Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, and the verses 6 and 7 next to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 1. I want to suggest that you write down Exodus chapter 20 also. Exodus chapter 20. And of course, Exodus chapter 20 are the Ten Commandments. And the verse that you want to write down next to that is Exodus 20, verse 13. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, which says, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. Not kill. It's not talking about war, as I told you. It's murder. It's a personal vendetta. Then I want you to write down Numbers 35, and I want you to go to Numbers chapter 35, okay? Now, Numbers is part of the Torah. It's part of the law. These were the five books of the Bible that every king, when he came to power, was to write out a copy of by hand with a scribe sitting there making sure that he did it right. So that as he did it, then what would happen is they would make sure that he didn't leave anything out. All right, now we're looking at Numbers chapter 35. In Numbers 35, verse 33, this is what he's saying. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation, no satisfaction, no payment can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, listen carefully, except by the blood of him who shed it. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel. In this whole chapter, he's talking about cities of refuge. He's talking about what happens when you kill someone accidentally or when you kill someone intentionally. There's a city of refuge if it was done accidentally. But if it was done intentionally, if it was not an accident, then the blood avenger was to come, the family member of the one that was killed was to come and to put that person to death. Because, as we saw in Genesis chapter 9, we're made in the image of God. And since we're made in the image of God, then we cannot lightly, or we cannot just put a person to death. We can't murder a person. Because if we shed a man's blood, then our blood should be shed to make expiation, satisfaction, payment for that life. Now, there was a time, there was a law when abortionists who were putting children to death, who were aborting babies, were to lose their license, they were to be imprisoned, and they should have been put to death. Now, the law has changed. What I want to do is I want you to see what's happened and why it happened and how it happened, because it's so enlightening. I learned things by reading The Marketing of Evil, this book by David Kupelian. And when I read this book, all of a sudden I saw how crucial it is that you and I understand that there is a marketing of evil today. And it's done by the media in print, the media on television, the media in radio. And with an election coming up, the media is able to persuade you almost to believe anything. Because what they do is they have an agenda. And their agenda is to get you, the listener, the viewer, to adopt a certain view or to adopt a certain standard. And so there's a whole mass marketing of evil that has come into our world. And it's come into our world and it's come in and it's found its place because the church has left a vacuum. The church has left a vacuum because they began to doubt the veracity of the Word of God. Because they imploded instead of exploding, and they just turned in upon themselves, and where they were once called to a life of sacrifice and the cross, and they heard about sin and they heard about the judgment of God and yes, the love of God and the righteousness of God and the loving kindness and the mercy and the compassion. Now God is something that a being that is just there to make me wealthy, to make me content, to make me prosperous, to make me happy in every single area of my life. It's just changed. So we're no longer talking about sin. Why? Because people don't want to hear about sin. It doesn't market well. So I want you to understand the power of marketing. Now, I'm reading to you out of the marketing of evil. And as we look at it, I want to remind you that today, 3,000 babies will be aborted. Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, 40 million children have been murdered. They have been put to death. How did it come about? How did something that was once a crime become now something that has been legalized? God hasn't changed, but we've changed. And what I want to share with you is about an organization called NARAL. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. N-A-R-A-L. And N-A-R-A-L was an organization that was called the National Association of the Repeal of Abortion Laws, the National Association of the Repeal of Abortion Laws. And it says, in New York, the law outlawing abortion has been on the books for 140 years. In 2 years of work, we at NARAL struck that law down. We lobbied the legislature. We captured the media. We spent money on public relations. And what else did they do? I'll tell you in just a minute.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved. I want to give you these statistics. I want to quote to you from the book, The Marketing of Evil by David Kupelian. And I want you to get this book. I want you to read it. I want you to share it with others. It's been out for 2 years, and I called David and I said, I didn't know him, but I met him over the phone. And I said, I don't know where I've been, but I am so thankful that this couple recommended this book for me, because now I have a greater understanding than I had before of the gravity of the times in which we're living and what is happening in America and how we are just taking our nation down. I understand in a greater dimension why America is at the crossroads and why I believe these are critical times. And I believe how we respond in these days is going to determine our survival or our demise as a nation. Listen, on page 191, I told you that in 2 years, through the lobbying, through the media, they brought down anti-abortion laws that were on the books for 140 years. He said our first year's budget was $7,500. Of that, $5,000 was allotted to public relations firm to persuade the media of the correctness of our position. That was in 1969. New York immediately became the abortion capital for the eastern half of the United States of America. We were inundated with applications for abortion, Nathanson said. To that end, I set up a clinic, the Center for Reproductive and Sexual Health. Now just stop and think about that title. The titles are so deceiving. It operated on the east side of Manhattan. It had 10 operating rooms, 35 doctors, 85 nurses. It operated 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 12 midnight. We did 120 abortions every day in that clinic. At the end of 2 years, I was the director. We had done, when he was the director, we had done 60,000 abortions. I, myself, with my own hands, have done 5,000 abortions. I have supervised another 10,000 that residents have done under my direction. So I have 75,000 abortions in my life. Those are pretty good credentials to speak on the subject of abortion. How did all of this start? He hooked up with a man later who had written a book called Abortion. In that book, he made the audacious demand that abortion should be legalized. So he got together with Later, and they came up, how are we going to market abortion? And he says, in the original abortion rights slogans from the early 70s, they remain virtual articles of faith and rallying cries of pro-choice movement to this day, were freedom of choice and women must have control over their own bodies. He said, I remember laughing when we made these slogans up. We were looking for something sexy, catchy slogans to capture the public opinion. They were very cynical slogans then, just as all these slogans today are very, very cynical. So they start this organization, and this is what he says. He says, repeating the big lie often enough convinces the public. The number of women dying from illegal abortions was around 200 to 250 annually. The figure we constantly fed to the media was 10,000. They told the media 10,000 women are dying annually. That's why we've got to have legalized abortion. They were lying through their teeth. These false figures took root in the consciousness of Americans, convincing many that we needed to crack the abortion law. Another myth we fed the public through the media was that legalizing abortion would only mean that abortions taking place illegally would be done legally. In fact, of course, abortion is now being used, now listen carefully, as the primary method of birth control in the United States, and the annual number of abortions has increased by 1,500% since legalization. In 1973, remember, it was Roe versus Wade. The woman that was involved in this was called Norma McCovey. And she became the product of the abortionists and the pawn of the abortionists to get abortion legalized. I've talked to that woman. That woman has been here at Precept Ministries. I did radio with her years ago. A woman absolutely broken because she was used as a pawn of the media and taken to court and she succeeded through her testimony in helping abortion be legalized. Now, how do I get away? I thought, David, you are quoting Bernard Nathanson, M.D. You are telling what he said and how they deceived the public and how they lied to the public. How do you do that? Well, I kept reading. And then Bernard Nathanson, who is a co-founder and top strategist of the pro-abortion movement and who wanted to legalize abortion, then one day decided that he would film, when they could, what was happening when they aborted a baby. They filmed it, and they ended up calling it the silent scream. The silent scream. He said, we got a film that was astonishing, shocking, and frightening. It was shattering, and pro-abortion people panicked because what they showed was they showed what happened when they took this curettage and they put it around in that uterus and they dismembered that body. They saw the baby moving away from they saw the pain. They saw the parts of the baby coming. They saw the agony. Through all modern science, they could begin to look inside the womb. They could see the sonogram. They could tell that this was a baby, that this was growing. What you and I, and then they were able to watch what happened when they did a saline injection. Because what they do is they put saline into the womb. The baby then inhales that saline in that amniotic fluid that is supposed to be a place of life. It has become big business. It has become something that is a political thing. And to go against the abortionists means to go against the media and to go against them is to just have your name dragged in the mud. Beloved, where are the people with courage? Where are the people that are going to stand? Where are the people who believe the word of God and who will call the nation to righteousness? I pray I'm talking to one of them. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation. And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference. It's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. As we wrap up today's program, beloved, as you sit here, so to speak, next to me and we talk, I just want to share with you, as I read this book, The Marketing of Evil, as I read about abortion, and as I was thinking about it, even before I read the book and thinking about Ezekiel chapter 22, you bloody city. My mind went to what I know about the Holocaust. My mind went to those accounts of German villages that were surrounding the death camps, that knew something was going on, that could see the black smoke coming out of the stacks of those ovens, and yet not really seeing the ovens themselves, not really seeing the people, and how, when they liberated the camps, they went in and they got the Germans living in that city. And they made them walk through the camps. They made them look at the ovens. They made them look at the piles of skeletons. They made them look at these human beings that were so gaunt and just nothing but skin and bone. And they would take their handkerchiefs and they would put them over their faces and they would retch and tears would run down their eyes and they'd try and turn away and they were made to look. I think it's time that we be made to look. To look and to understand what is happening. In this book, he tells about a young resident and how abortion was part of his residence training and how he assisted at the first abortion. And he looked at it and he thought, that's a child. That's a baby. We've just killed a baby. It made him sick. But he was being indoctrinated. It was part of his training. And so he assisted and assisted until one day he did his first abortion. And then again, it was horrible. And then he did it over and over again until finally he said, my heart got calloused. This is what he said. Let me read it to you. He said, my heart got calloused. I was like a lot of people today, afraid to stand up. I was afraid to speak up. Oh, some of us, maybe we aren't afraid, but we just don't have our convictions settled yet. It is time to settle our convictions. It is time for us to know that God has to judge a bloody city. Why? Because they're putting to death people that are created in the image of God. Stand up. Don't become callous. Be strong. Be courageous. Get the word out.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life. The discovery of truth, the knowledge of eternal life, the face of hope. People in more than 120 nations and 65 different languages know how to discover truth for themselves. When you support Precept Ministries International, you're giving the Word of God to orphans, supplying studies for youth camps, and equipping Precept trainers in foreign countries. Our ministry is greater than we ever dreamed, and we thank you for your generous giving. If you'd like to partner with us, call 1-800-763-1990.